Hey, thanks so much for listening to this message. My name is Jason, and I'm one of the ministers here at the Madison Church of Christ. It's our hope and prayer that the teaching you hear today will bless your life and draw you closer to God. If you're ever in the Madison area, we'd love for you to stop by and study the Bible with us on Sundays at 5 p.m. or Wednesdays at 7 p.m. If you have questions about the Bible or want to know more about the Madison Church, you can find us online at madisonchurch.org. Be sure to subscribe to this podcast, as well as our sermons podcast, Madison Church of Christ Sermons. Thanks again for stopping by. I hope this study is a blessing to you.
As we keep thinking about Jesus and this, this topic we're going to get into tonight has been more challenging for me, and I'll get there and explain why in a little bit. Than I was expecting it to be. Let me ask you this, just a couple answers, a couple inputs on this question right here. When you think of Jesus, when you first picture Jesus, what's the first picture that comes to mind? Yeah.
Blonde and blue-eyed. It's what I remember from Bible class from Louisiana. I don't know if y'all did things differently here,
All right. I don't know that I ever saw that growing up, just to be honest. Yeah. What else? What do you picture when you picture Jesus? Suffering Savior picture?
The Da Vinci picture or painting, the Last Supper.
Okay. All right. Yeah. That's a famous, but, easy to recall picture. Anything else?
Somewhere like a large amount of people are always gathered going over.
Yeah, I like that. I think it's definitely something. We all have pictures of Jesus when we think of him. You almost think, I guess at least the way my mind works is when I think of almost anything, a picture comes to mind. I had a Bible study with a third grader, fourth grader this afternoon, and I was trying to explain I'd do better if I talk in pictures, and so we draw on the board and think about things that way. And maybe that's just how simple my mind is. But when we think of Jesus, when we think of stories that we've been told, there's something that plays in our mind. One that I think a lot of us prefer or maybe think of Jesus is the crowd surrounding him, the picture where he does look like an important person, or we play the Savior on the cross. John 13 gives us a different picture of Jesus as someone who is lowly on purpose. It's not just a random scene. It's not just the sentimental thing. It's a picture of Jesus showing us what God is like, showing us what greatness is, real greatness. Showing us what discipleship looks like, even, I think. And so I want to, if you got a Bible, turn to John chapter 13. If not, it'll be up on the screen as well. Look at this story that you probably have heard a lot in your life and try to re-examine it. Look at it with a different lens than maybe you've looked at it before. Ask some questions that have been very challenging for me to think about this week. So, John chapter 13, beginning with verse 1, really the first three verses. Can somebody read that for me, please?
Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. During supper, when the devil had already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going back to God.
All right. Learn with me here some descriptions that we see in the first three verses. I mean, it's packed full of information here. Help review with me. What are some of those things that we see in those first few verses? John gives us some background here of where he's at in his story. Okay, it's a Passover, so that's the time of year and what's going on there. There have been a lot of people, there for that that event, that supper together, but a special, time to be together. What else? He knew that his time had come. That powerful, just actually gave me chills, just thinking about that idea of that his time had come, and then what's to follow. Anything else? He knows what he's about to do. He knows what's about to happen to him. That would be a big influencing thing on this. Hey, Jimmy.
It says here, that he loved his own. That's in the, right up next to saying that Judas betrayed him. So he loved them even to the end. And even though he knew that it was in Judas's heart to betray him, he still loved him.
Yeah, that's good. It's a big point there, that love. Why do you think he has so many descriptors in these first three verses before we even really start the story of what's going on in verse 4 here?
I think it just lends to the magnitude, sets the scene, the magnitude of the moment. His final moments with his disciples, and he's doing an object lesson essentially on service, right? Throughout the New Testament, the other Gospels too, they always talk about who's the greatest, and right, they fight amongst themselves. It's last hurrah to change and get it kind of thing.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. Yeah.
I think it's easy to forget, at least for me. We know the end of the story, and clearly Jesus says he knows the end of the story, but they don't. Right? The apostles have no idea. And it's hard to get into that mindset, knowing it's about to happen. So, I don't know, maybe a simple reminder to say, hey, Jesus is all-powerful and all-knowing, and here's what's going to happen.
There's a lot that the disciples have been a part of leading up to John 13. If we think about other gospels, this is later in the gospel. There's a lot that happens between John 13 and John 20-21 here. A lot's about to happen, but he has led up to that moment to have one more big, especially really big teaching moment with them. One thing that it says here is that he knew who he was and what was about to happen. So let me ask you this: why do we think there's security here in who Jesus was? What about insecurity? Security in who Jesus was. What about insecurity in us and in other people? What do you think insecurity is protecting? As Jesus says, his time had come. He knew who he was. He knew where he was going. He knew the love that he was about to display to them. I was very secure, very confident in that. So much so that he knows all that, and then he's secure in who he is to pick up a towel. A wash basin. What about the opposite of that? What about insecurity? Yeah.
Usually if we're insecure in something, we seek to protect that which we think we are. So protect the identity that we would like for ourselves, as opposed to realize that.
Okay. So we're protecting what we want to be, or what we.
Yeah. What we want.
Okay. What we want. Okay. All right. Yeah. Yeah. I think you're right.
What we think we
are. Okay. What we think we are. Yeah. 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 I think you're right. I think that's definitely part of it. What else? Okay, yeah, protecting what we don't want people to see.
Usually get very sentimental and want to reminisce, but we want to kind of center around that, whereas he definitely didn't do that. He teaches another lesson.
Okay, yeah. Anything else? Insecurity protects when we're insecure. When people are insecure.
And I feel like when we're insecure, we just grasp at straws to control what we think we can't control.
Yeah, control and being a huge thing for sure. I think we're going to see that in a few minutes too. Yeah.
And kind of just echoing what folks have said, it's like trying to protect against the unknown.
Okay. Against the unknown. So yeah.
Your brain is, you're trying to, like, if I'm reading the first three verses of that for the first time ever, you're predicting, all right, what's Jesus going to do next? Or like, what would I do next in that situation? And it's pretty much a 180 from what you would think.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good point.
Because if you are insecure, you're putting trust in something else that you wanted to control. But insecurity is coming that when you lack in trust, it's something that you know is there.
Yeah. I think you're right. I think, you know, if we really, you know, kept going, we'd see that, you know, insecurity protects comfort. It does protect our trust, our control, our being what we want to be or what we want people to think we are. Our appearance protects being right or people thinking we're right. But also, you know, I think in all of that protects status. I think what we could see here is that, you know, insecurity protects status. But when we're secure, Jesus is going to show us that we pick up a towel. We do the thing that is the unexpected. We take the route that not other people want to take. Jesus chose this exact moment before the cross, this exact task, foot washing, to show us what true leadership, what true greatness would look like. You know, to think about how Jesus served because he knew who he was, not to prove who he was. Let's keep reading. Let's keep reading. Somebody read that for me, please.
Jesus, knowing that the Father has given all things into his hand, has come from God, is going back to God, rose from supper. He laid aside his outer garments, and taking a towel, tied it around his waist, then poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and wipe them with the towel that was wrapped around.
All right, thank you. You know, this was the lowest of low jobs. This is the job that, my understanding from reading commentaries and stuff, that the Gentile, for better or worse, the Gentile slaves would have done, that the women would have done, or the children would have done. This was as in their society as low as it would get. And that's, again, for better or worse, that's what it was. But you know, Luke actually, I think somebody, I can't remember, somebody alluded to this, that, you know, that they were just talking about greatness. Brandon, was that you that you mentioned that? He talks about that before there was probably this silence in the room when Jesus does this, that they're talking about who's the greatest among us. They're ranking themselves. Jesus isn't ranking them. He's washing feet. Jesus doesn't put on a lecture about pride. He exposes them with action. So why do you think Jesus corrects them with action rather than with a lecture?
I mean, I think Peter's response is evidence of what he was looking for. I mean, they knew that was the lowest of the low. And he's doing it, and he's going one by one and step by step, and it's a dirty job. And he's on the ground. I mean, basically in front of them on his knees. And Peter says, wait, why are you doing this? And Jesus says, you don't understand, I have to do this. This is what I'm supposed to do. And then Peter's like, well, then just wash my whole body. I want to be fully a part of this. So that's what Jesus was trying to show them, that we're not called to be above everyone. We're called to serve it.
Yeah. We're going to get to that in just a second, but I think you're right in a lot of things looking forward at this. Anything else?
If the King of Kings and Lord of Lords can come down and leave heaven voluntarily and wash their feet, and you kind of alluded to it, but the roads back then had a lot of biological material in them, right? This, and feet are gross anyways. I mean, they're nasty. I don't like feet. It's gross. Anyways, I mean, he's lowering himself to the nth degree when he should not, right? In modern, like in our contemporary thinking or how normally it should work, they should be washing his feet. We should be doing stuff for him.
Yeah, yeah. You're right. I don't know about you, but, as a parent, I probably at times, want to say, all right, I need you to do this. I need you to do this. I need you to do this and this and this and this. And, then other times I'm like, all right, I'm going to show them, hey, come along with me. We're going to do this. At least for a 4-year-old and a 7-year-old, I don't think they really click as often as I wish. If they see me doing something, say, hey, I could also be doing that too, or I could do that before them. But, we're learning, and maybe we'll get there. And Jesus, he doesn't give a lecture. He just does it. And wants them to learn, and they talk about it at some point. Yeah, real quick.
There's also just one thing I've made. There's also like an intimacy or a vulnerability on both parties that are here that, that kind of knocks down barriers, and I feel like Jesus did.
Yeah, I think you're right. John, I'm gonna keep going if that's okay. Because I wanna get to this, because we got two elders here. Right. Is this two? Yeah, there we go. So what if our two elders we have in here decided to show up at John or Brandon or any of our houses, and they knock on the door, ring the doorbell or whatever it is, and they said, hey, we're here to clean your bathroom. Start with the boys. We're here with scrub brush and gloves and cleaner, maybe even toothbrush to get on our hands and knees to work hard to clean your bathrooms. How would you feel?
My gut instinct is, okay, Jimmy, you talk here for like 2 seconds and I'm going to go up and like do a prep.
Oh, exactly. Exactly. How many would go and clean their bathrooms if they knew that they were coming and before them to show up? How many would do that? If you wouldn't do that, we'll have an invitation song for you later. But really, we would go and clean our bathrooms because we wouldn't want an elder to come in and think that. Why? Why?
You don't see him. You don't want them to think how much of a slob you are.
Okay. All right. It's not their job. That's what we'd say. That's below them. Yet Jesus, Son of God, Savior, on the cross that we see, he picks up the towel and does the unthinkable. Maybe that puts us in the realm of thinking maybe how Peter felt. Don't you think about this? What's your foot washing job right now? What do you mind doing as long as people see it, or maybe that's not worded right, but avoid when nobody will notice? You don't mind doing it thinking, hey, somebody's going to see me do this. But, when nobody's going to notice, not going to take it that seriously, not going to do it. When I was an intern in college, I lived with a guy that still I'm very, very close to this day. And, I wanted to help out around the house because I was living there for free and everything. And one thing he would have me do is cut grass. Well, one day he said, hey, could you also fertilize the yard while you're, after you cut the grass? And his daughter was going to have a wedding at their house, at their home, very beautiful home. Later, into the fall, and so just kind of getting things ready for it. And I said, sure. So I had this thing, the pool behind the lawnmower, and that I was not taking my time going as fast because I thought, hey, nobody's really going to know. A place behind the garage in a very large open area. I took a quick turn. The thing tipped over just a little bit and burned up the grass. I'm not kidding, this much. 2 days later, he said, hey, what happened back behind the garage? How in the world did he know? I didn't care. I didn't care that much because I didn't think anybody was going to notice and all. When I do the laundry at home and I fold the clothes, sometimes this is bad, but I'll leave the folded clothes out, like where everybody will come through the house and see, all right, Jordan folded all these clothes and didn't put them up yet, but I'm going to. But just so that everybody can see the clothes that has been folded up and hung up, because I want people to notice what I've done. But that's not a foot washing job. That's not what there are. There jobs that we avoid because they're beneath us. Are there jobs that we avoid because nobody's going to see us do them, but we'll do the ones that will people will notice? It cuts through the performance, doesn't it? Let's keep reading. Somebody.
He came to Simon Peter and said to him, Lord, you wash my feet? Jesus answered him, what I am doing, you do not understand now, but afterward you will understand. Peter said to him, you will never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, if I do not wash you, you have no share with me. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head.
All right, so we get to that sentence. If I do not wash you, you have no share with me. You have no part with me. It's not just about feet. It's about grace. It's about fellowship. It's about belonging. Peter's objection here fits this broader resistance, almost maybe to a Messiah that suffers and stoops down to wash feet. What do you think that Peter is protecting by refusing? His dignity? Control? A sense of, I don't owe anyone? Fear of being exposed? Why? It's where it's hard. Why is it so hard sometimes?
Dependency. Being dependent on somebody else that we're going to come help. Even in that moment, when we're reading, we kind of forget about Judas. He was there. One who's going to betray him, and he still washed his feet.
Yeah. That's the next couple of verses. Yeah.
Being able to stand on my own 2 feet. I were, not married or whatever. My mom always taught me, you need to be able to do this on your own, just in case. And you can't rely on others because they will fail you time and time again.
Yeah. And we feel that way. Probably got to do it on our own. It's our job to do it on our own. Yeah.
I'm the same way I grew up. My mom never wanted to ask for prayers at church. Like, I always ask her, like, why not? She's just, it's embarrassing. And then Maddie and I, a lot of times, in Cordova, in the hospital, things like that, we both bring the same thing. It's just embarrassing to have to ask for help. And even though, that's not something we should ever be embarrassed about, but to me, it's just the embarrassment and, pride aspect of it.
And the worth comes from the person giving the service.
Yeah.
Many times we just don't want to owe anyone a favor.
Yeah.
It's a loss of control, right? In the end,
when we have to rely on other people, we no longer control our destiny, our own situation. And most of us were raised in a situation of you need to be able to do these things on your own. You need to be able to control your life, or else you're not doing what you're supposed to do. So we're not taught to rely on other people very well. It's always a very difficult situation. Whereas if you're the one giving it, you're still in control.
Yeah.
You still are the one being.
I think Peter gets a bad rap because if I was in his shoes, I would have done the same thing.
Oh, 100%. But yeah.
On the flip side, I would refuse Jesus washing my feet. But would I refuse him dying on the cross for me? Obviously not. Yeah. So when I marry those together, it seems so stupid.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
you know,
such a natural human reaction to refuse that one, but not the other one.
You know, obviously recently we've had some tough things go on, and this is hard. It's hard for me. But, you know, maybe, I guess, question is, you know, what's harder for you, you know, being serving without being noticed, or admitting that you need help without explaining it away? For me, it is the latter too. You know, some of us struggle with some things, some of us struggle with the other. You know, I think both of them are, you know, are definitely can be a struggle for us. If I need help from something, and I'm going to try to find a way to explain why I need help, why I've got, you know, to do all this, that we see Jesus kind of cut through all that. We're so out of time. You know, this is good stuff, guys. And Jason was supposed to teach next week. We may pick up right here because I think there's still some stuff to talk about, and maybe let him take the last half of the class or something next week, because there's some good points and things to think about Judas and the example of doing that as well. If y'all are okay with that and continuing this next week, because I think there's some stuff worth continuing to think about. So thank y'all so much, and y'all have a good night.